Welcome everyone to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We've been on a series for a little while here called Transformation, Breaking Out of the Mold. And you say, what mold? What kind of a mold are you talking about? Well, remember the caterpillar? The caterpillar is, you know, can't travel very far, can't do too much. It's got a whole bunch of legs, but it still can't move that fast. But it at some point builds a cocoon, builds this cocoon, and this cocoon is this mold, and he kind of basically just covers himself up, surrounds himself with this cocoon, and at some point in time, something starts happening in there, and it starts becoming too big for the mold. Too big for the mold. And he starts to break out. To everyone's surprise, it's no longer a caterpillar. It's a butterfly. Breaking out of the mold. Transformation. That's what this is all about. Transformation. Transformation. From a caterpillar to a butterfly. And he had to break out of this mold first. It's in this, there's a process, right? It didn't just happen overnight. He didn't just kind of climb up and all of a sudden as he's climbing, he's being transformed. No. He might be climbing up this stalk and climbing up this plant, but he has to build this cocoon. And I think for us, sometimes this process of transformation can be hard because we have to break out of stuff. There's this mold. The Bible says this. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The easy to read translation says, "Do not become like the people who belong to this world, but let God completely change the way you think." Why? So you can live differently. We want to live differently. We want to live differently. Are we satisfied with life? I mean, is life as good as it can get for us? No. We want more. We want to experience more. God has more for us, and so we're going to have to live differently. Things are going to have to change. He says. So this is how it's done. Let God completely change the way you think so that you can live differently. Then you will understand what God wants you to do. You will know what is good, you will know what pleases God, and you will know what is completely right. The expanded says this. It's expanded, it's kind of like the amplified. It says, "Do not be shaped by or conformed to or pressed into a mold by this world or this age. Instead, be changed within, transformed, by a new way of thinking, or by changing the way you think." This is called the renewing of your mind. "Then you will be able to decide, to discern, to test, and to approve what God wants for you, what His will is. You will know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect." Hallelujah. We see here in the Phillips translation, he says, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice what the plan of God, that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity." So we see here that this renewing or remolding of our minds, this change of thinking and acting, is more than just a memorization of Scripture, right? There is action that is required. Renewing our minds with the Word of God is more than just knowing it. It's also about believing it and acting on it. Transformation requires a process. So, the good news is that we're not stuck. We're not stuck. If we choose to take action to work the process of renewing our minds with the Word of God, in time we will experience transformation. So that's why I like them when I say our best days are ahead of us. They're not behind us. We're not living our best days. They might be better than before, but there's still better days ahead of us, right? Our best days are still ahead of us. Hallelujah. And so we are not stuck. And then I ask these three questions, and these are like three challenging questions. Like, do we really want more? Are we just satisfied? Do we just want to coast? Do we just want to put our life on cruise control and just stay in our comfort zone? Or do we actually want more? Do we want to walk with God? Do we want to experience more, enjoy more, and answer and respond to this upward call that He has for us? And so these three questions based on love are kind of like a challenge. How much of the abundant life are you willing to believe God for? Number one. Number two, do you believe God loves you enough to bring it to pass? Number two. And number three, do you love yourself enough to even expect to receive it? So these are three challenging questions, three important questions that we can just ponder. We are His handiwork, and God doesn't make junk. Amen? Hallelujah. He does not make mistakes. Glory to God. Then we talked about identity, how important it is that the butterfly is really not interested in going back to a caterpillar. You know, a butterfly doesn't have a caterpillar mentality anymore. They fly. They go wherever they want to. They no longer have to crawl. They can crawl, but they can fly. Butterflies have a completely different identity than they used to have. And I said this. Well, we read this verse. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So that's why God is instructing us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind with the Word of God, is because He wants us to know who we are. In order for us to experience transformation in our life, we're going to have to find out who we are. Instead of just who we were. Too many times we have an identity based on who we were or the past, and we get stuck. We need to find out who we are so we can move forward. And we talked about the path of victory. Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus preached. This is what He preached. He preached, repent, and believe the gospel. Amen? Repent and believe the gospel. The word repent is not a nasty word. It's not a mean word. It's not a big stick word that beats people over the head. No, that beats us over the head, right? The word repent means to think differently, to reconsider, and to a change of thinking. So we choose to change what we think and believe the Word of God, the Word of the Kingdom of God, and how He does things. And this change of thinking, this change of acting, produces the result of transformation. It produces this change. God's upward call and invitation will be uncomfortable because it's leading us out of our comfort zone. So it's important that we just decide, you know what, I'm going to be comfortable being uncomfortable. We just need to decide, you know what, this is uncomfortable. But we need to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Because if we're going to walk with God, there is going to be this constant upward call of change and transformation. Transformation is not a destination. It's not like we get there. Boom, we've arrived. The journey's over. No, transformation is a journey. And we're going to arrive at this, and then all of a sudden He's going to call us up higher, and we'll arrive there, and then He'll call us up higher. So we're going to climb one mountain and go, and then all of a sudden we're going to see there's another peak over there. And so He's going to call us to climb up again. And is it? We're constantly just going to be moving up, going forward. So we just need to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Hallelujah. We talked about we have the right to aim our thinking. I think it was last week. What do you want? What do you want? Jesus asked this numerous times. Matter of fact, we see this. The Apostle John said this, I wish above all things. 3 John 2. I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And I mentioned, you know what, the important thing is we, and sometimes it's the sad thing, but we do not get what others want for us. Just because he said, listen, this is my desire, this is what I want for you, we don't get what others want for us, we actually get what we want and go after. We get what we want and go after. And so we saw that John 5, 6, Jesus showed up and asked the guy that had been there for 38 years sick, do you want to be healed? Mark 10, 50, 51, Jesus asked blind Bartimaeus, what do you want? Nothing happened until he asked the question. Nothing happened until they stated what they wanted. And then the woman with the issue of blood, nobody even asked her what she wanted. She just went and got what she wanted. Right? She just literally, she heard about Jesus. And when she heard about Jesus, she goes, that's what I want. He's got what I want. And so she just said over and over and over, if I just can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And then it got to, she's so convinced and persuaded that it was no longer enough just to say it another time. She had to get dressed. She had to leave the house. She had to go to Jesus. And she touched him and she got exactly what she wanted. And Jesus stopped and said, he felt the power jump out of him. He wasn't praying for anyone. He wasn't having a healing meeting. He was walking. She yanked the power right out of him. So he wanted to hear a testimony. He wanted to hear a testimony. She said, who touched me? Amen? Who touched me? She got what she wanted. Hallelujah. And so today, let's go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. I want to start in verse 11. Deuteronomy 30 verse 11 says, for this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. Amen? For this commandment, this word, see, this is what he's talking about. He's talking about his word. He's talking about his word. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it afar off. His word, his answer. It's not too far away. He says, it's not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? The word, the answer, who's gonna bring the word to us? Who's going to get the word for us? He says, it's not that far away. Who's going to bring the word so we can hear it and do it? In verse 13, nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring this word to us so that we may hear it and do it? You know, it's not like we have to send someone there to, I need the word so I can hear and do it. Who's going to go get it for me? Who's going to get it for me? Who's going to go get it for me? Who's going to go get it for me? Who's going to get it for, go get it for me? Verse 14, but the word is very near you. The word is in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. So it's interesting, right? Verses 12 and 13 says this, talking about the word. Who's going to get us the word so we can hear it and do it? So hear it. So the first thing we need to do is we need to hear it. We need to hear it, right? We need to hear the word. And then verse 14 says, but the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. Why? That you may do it. So we do need to hear it. But we also need to do it. Amen. Not just hearers, but we need to be doers of the word. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. It's like, it's like the table's been set. He says, I've set before you. I mean, this is what is before you. I've set before you life and good. And also on this table is death and evil. It's set before you. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. Listen, he says, I've set before you these things. I've set before you life and good, and also before you is death and evil. I've set before you life and good. Why? So that I can, so that in that I command you today to love your, so your choices, our choices determine what we receive. I've set before you life and blessing, and there's also death and cursing. Death and evil. And so that's why I'm commanding you. That's why the instruction is love the Lord your God. Number one, love. Number two, walk in his ways and keep his commandments. Walk in his ways. Number three, keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments. Why? So that you might live. I've set before you life and good. That's why I'm telling you to love the Lord your God, walk in his ways, and keep his commandments so you can see how the choice? So you can live. So we can live. We choose to love God. We choose to walk in his ways. We choose to keep his word so we can live. That's a choice. It's a choice. He says, good and bad, life and death are laid out before you. But we have a choice. And he says, I'm just giving you some inside information. He said, that's why I'm telling you. I'm telling you to love the Lord your God. I'm telling you to keep his word. I'm telling you to walk in his ways. Because what that'll do is it'll cause you to tap into life. It's like this is an open book test. Multiple choice test, but he's also given us the answer, right? We have a right to choose, but he's saying, if you want to enjoy life, choose love, choose walking in my ways, choose keeping my commandments. Why? So that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. Now you notice this, he says, that God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. Now it's interesting, he didn't say, I'm going to bless you in the land I'm going to possess for you. Right? He said, I'm going to bless you in the land that you're going to possess. I've given it to you, but you. So each and every one of us, he says, the life, the land, the life, the good land, the good life that he has for us, we are going to have to possess it ourselves. He says he's given it to us. He says it's ours. But in order for us to enjoy it, in order for us to walk in it, in order for us to possess it, take it, we're going to have to do that. He's not doing it for us. So I'm going to bless you, but in the land that you're going to possess. He's going to bless us as we go and possess what's ours, what he's given us, right? So we're not taking something that's not ours. We're taking hold of and we're possessing what he has given us, but we have to do it. Say, I have to do it. One more time, I have to do it. Amen. We have to do it. He's not doing it for us. Next, verse 17, but, what does that mean? That means everything he just said is conditional. right? Verse 17, but. It means it's not automatic. It's conditional. He says, but if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and draw away and you worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you've literally separated yourself from life. What does that mean? That you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. He says, but if you don't listen to me, and if you just, I'm trying to give you some inside information to enjoy life, but if you don't want to take my word, if you want to do it yourself, if you want to do it some other way, you know, you got your multiple choice, but you just don't want to choose the choice that I'm saying, you know what, just wink, wink, this is the life answer right here. This is the answer that produces life. But if you want to choose your own thing, I mean, that's fine. Just understand that you choose other things. They don't lead to the life. They don't lead to the good. They don't lead to the blessing. They don't lead that way. So you can choose whatever you want to choose. But just know this. It will separate you from life. It'll separate you from good. We have a choice. And he says, we choose that way, then we will perish and we will die young. But hey, if you don't want to perish and you don't want to die young, listen, I've got some answers for you. Verse 19, he says, listen, I've called heaven and earth to witness. King James says record or witness. In other words, heaven and earth. He said, heaven and earth, pay attention. I'm about to make an announcement, and I want you to be a witness against anyone that ever says God is not right, he's not just, he's not fair. God says, I've called heaven and earth to witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Once again, he's saying the same thing in different words. He's actually endeavoring to make it much clearer yet, right? You know, if we're just not too fast and too quick, he's just saying it again. He's letting us know, you know what? I really want you to enjoy life. I really want you to enjoy blessing. So let me say it again. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. This is on the table before you. You can choose whatever you want, but just please choose life so that you and your descendants can live. You and your descendants not just exist, but live and enjoy life and blessing. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give them. So this good life, this good land that he has for us, he has given it to us. He has sworn it, and he's actually talked about it a long time ago when he made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When he talked about Abraham, our father in the faith, he said, in you, all nations will be blessed. Not just your nation, all nations. And in because of that, Jesus was born. Jesus died. Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus paid the price for our sins. Jesus bought and purchased what was lost because of Adam. But he had to get things back. And God was getting things back for us through Abraham. He met a man who loved him, met a man who would obey him, met a man who would trust him and open the door once again for God to begin to operate in the earth. Because when Adam sinned, God was shut out. So in order for God to get back in to do us good, he had to find someone who would work with him. He found Abraham. and then Isaac, and Jacob. And he made them promises. And those promises are for us also. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on us because of Jesus by faith. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we see here, listen, he says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life, choose life, choose life, choose life. How do we choose life? How do we choose life? What does that look like? How do we choose life? Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18. How do we choose life? What does that look like? Choose life. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Proverbs 18, 21 says this, death and life. Well, that's what he's talking to. That's what he's telling us. He says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now he says, here's, listen, death and life. Death and life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. That's why he said, listen, choose life. Choose life. How do we choose life? We choose, well, death and life are in the power of our tongue. In other words, our words. That's what I want to talk about today is our words. 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 Transformation comes because of the words. Part of the process of transformation is a result of our words. Our words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue and our words. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So whatever we love to talk, whatever we love to say is the result that we're going to get, is what we are going to produce, is the fruit. We want God's will and plan for us is to be fruitful. Amen? But it's important what we talk. It's important what the words we say, because the words we say produce fruit. That's why God says, listen, choose life. In other words, what? Choose life words. Choose life words. Choose my words. Right? Love God, walk in his ways, and keep his words. Speak. Speak words of love towards God. Speak. Speak words of I'm willing and obedient. Jesus said this, I always do that which pleases the Father. He said that. That was not just a statement of fact, it was also a faith statement. I always do that which pleases the Father. He did, and he continued to do it. Amen? We can say the same thing. Have we not before? Yeah, of course. But we can make a faith statement. We can declare, confess over ourselves, I always do that which pleases the Father. I always do that which pleases the Father. He is working in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I am willing and obedient to him. Amen? Hallelujah. So he said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So if we love to talk life, it'll produce life fruit, blessing fruit. If we love to talk death, it'll produce death fruit, death fruit. Short life, sickness and disease, pain, poverty, lack, fear, confusion. Let's choose life. Choose life. Speak words of life. Speak the word of God. Speak words of life, and it'll produce life. It'll cause fruit of life to begin to grow off of us, right? Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. That's where the fruit comes out. The fruit comes out on the branches, right? Hallelujah. He wants us to produce fruit. We want life fruit, blessing fruit hanging on these branches. Amen? Amen? Amen. Okay, thank you. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Starting in verse 5. Matthew 8, starting in verse 5, says, Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, My servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented, and Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, I'll come heal him. So, good news. That's the way Jesus is with us. Lord, I'll come. I'll come heal you. I'll come deliver you. I'll come provide for you. I'll come take care of you. Amen? He loves us. He loves us so very much. He said, I'll come heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, 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 I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word. Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority. See, when he said that, he recognized that Jesus was a man under authority. He said, for I also am a man under authority. And then he goes on to say, I'm not only just a man under authority, I have authority. Because then he says, and I have soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. He said, I also am a man under authority, and I have authority, and I recognize that you are under authority, and you have authority. And when Jesus heard it, verse 10, he marveled. He went, wow. He only marveled twice in Scripture. Twice. Mark chapter 6, he marveled because of their unbelief. He says, wow, that's some amazing unbelief they got out there. And so he went about teaching to get rid of the unbelief. But here, he went, wow. Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Verse 13, and Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done to you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Isn't that interesting? Speak the word only. Speak the word only. And it, speaking the word only, why? Because we recognize that we too are under authority, right? We're children and servants of God. We are under authority, but he has also given us authority. He's given us authority. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go ye therefore. And then he said in Luke, he said, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I've given you authority. We have authority. The Bible says, Ephesians chapter 2, but God. Whatever the situation and circumstance we find ourselves in, there's always a but God. Which reminds me again, we're not stuck. We might be stuck in ourselves. We might be stuck because we don't know the answer. But God. But God has the answer. Amen? But God. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great, wonderful, intense love wherewith he loved us. And in order to satisfy that great, wonderful, intense love wherewith he has for us, even while we were dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace we've been saved. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus at his right hand. To do what? To rule and to reign in life through one, Romans chapter 5. To rule and reign in life as one, as kings through one, Jesus Christ our Lord. Genesis chapter 1. To be fruitful, to multiply, to increase, to subdue, and have dominion. We have authority. We have authority in our lives. And so we too are under authority and have been given authority. And you understand that authority is function and operated with words. Authority is released in words. Right? Hallelujah. That's how kings operate. Kings don't go do the job. They release. They want something done, they speak it and get it done. We have authority in our lives. As we begin to speak and say and declare what God said, we are under authority because we're saying what He said. And because we have authority, we are bringing this to pass, causing it to come to pass in our lives. We have authority in our lives, and it is released by and through our words or our conversation. Philemon chapter 6 says this. Philemon chapter 6, King James says it this way. That the communication of your faith may become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. That the communication of your faith, what you believe, may become effective. We want our faith to be effective. Amen? We don't want to just talk a talk and have nothing happen. We actually want to talk and produce results. Amen? We want it to be effective. We want our faith to be effective. That the communication of your faith may become effective, how? By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So in Christ, we have a whole pile of good things that have been given to us. This is the in Christ or in Him realities, who we are in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. And so there's this whole, talking about benefits. The in Him benefits, who we are in Christ. But in order for them to become effective in our lives, work in our lives, we must acknowledge them. Well, the word acknowledge means this, to know. Oh, we need to know it, right? We need to know it. And then we need to confess it. The word acknowledge means to know, to confess, and to understand. So we need to know it, then we need to understand it, and we need to confess it. And sometimes the confessing, with just the fact that we confess what God said, all of a sudden it causes knowledge and understanding. It's like, oh, I'm getting that now. I have to say it, we have to know it, and then say it, understand it, and then we say it. Our faith is released with our words. Amen? That the communication of your faith may become effective. How? By the confessing of every good thing that's in you in Christ. So we must know and recognize who we are in Christ. And that comes by renewing our minds with the Word of God. This is all about this transformation. We want to experience transformation in our lives. We must renew our minds with the Word of God. We must change the way we think. That's why we have to confess the Word, to change the way we think, and also to change the results. Confession is really like an input and an output. It changes the input and it also changes the output. It produces results. This comes by renewing our minds with the Word of God and then to speak and declare it out loud. The word confess means this. The word confess means to say the same thing and to agree with. To say the same thing and to agree with. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 10 says this. It's powerful. I mean, there's like four or five verses that are just powerful here, verses 8 to 13. I mean, a whole chapter. I mean, really, it's all good. But this is right in the middle of it. It says this, For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Right? So what happens here? With the heart we believe unto righteousness. What does that mean? That means the moment we choose to believe what God said, it makes it legally ours. Righteousness. It's right. It's legally ours. The moment we choose to believe what God said, it becomes legally ours. We legally lay hold of it. But legally laying hold of it and having it are two different things. Legally laying hold to I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus and experiencing the healing are two different things. So the moment we believe God's word, He bore my sicknesses, carried my diseases, and by His stripes I was healed, makes it legally mine, legally yours. We legally lay hold of it. Now, in order for us to experience what we have, what is legally ours, right? God gave them the land. He said, now you have to go possess it. I've given you the land, but you have to go possess it. It's legally theirs, but they had to go possess it in order to enjoy it. With the heart we believe, and it makes it legally ours. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With our mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Salvation means, is translated in the Greek and Hebrew, salvation, deliverance, prosperity, wholeness, healing, protection, preservation, safety, victory. Hallelujah. In order for us to experience salvation in our lives, in all these areas, confession is made unto it. We believe it, makes it legally ours. Confession brings us into it or brings it to us. So, Mark Hankins says, Brother Hagin says, the door of the supernatural swings on two hinges. I have to go through my notes from Bible school because I'm sure I've got that written down, except I just don't remember him saying that. But I'm sure I've got it written down. So, the door of the supernatural swings on two hinges, believing and speaking. That's what we're talking about here. Believing and speaking. The door of the supernatural. In other words, if we want to open the door up to the supernatural, if we want to open up the door of God supernaturally working on manifesting and operating in our lives, we must open the door, and the door swings on these two hinges. We believe in our heart and say with our mouth. We believe in our heart and say with our mouth. If we want the supernatural involved, we must believe in our heart and say with our mouth. It's not enough just to believe. It's not enough just to believe. We must open up our mouths and begin to say what we believe. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You know, you'll go on vacation and the kids ask, are we there yet? Well, no, I mean, we're on the way. Unto. We're going unto. We're on the way. So our confession is made, and we're on the way. Amen? We're on the way. Glory to God. And we will get there. Glory to God. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, Jesus, James, or Peter, James, and John came down from a mountain, from a hill. And there was a crowd down there, and Jesus asked, what's all going on? What's going on? Mark 9, starting verse 16, what's going on? And one of the guys in the crowd said, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down and foams at the mouth, and he gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they would cast it out, but they could not. And he said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And when they brought him to Jesus, and when he saw Jesus, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell to the ground, wallowing and foaming at the mouth. And Jesus did not react. He responded. How did Jesus respond? And this boy all of a sudden falls to the ground, starts shaking. He did not react. He responded, and he said, how long has this been going on? Jesus was not under pressure. He asked the father, how long has this been going on? And his dad said, from childhood. And often it throws them both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us. If you can do anything, have compassion on us. If you can do anything, have compassion on us. If you can, please help us. If you can, please help us. Jesus can, and he wants to. Right? The question is not if you can and do you want to. Jesus said, I can and I want to. I can and I want to. But just because Jesus can and he wants to did not change anything. Right? This guy's saying, if you can and you want to, please. Please. He's just begging for some help. But begging for help does not get results. If you can, and you want to. So Jesus had to get him into a place, in a position, change the way he thinks so he can get a change of results. We too will have to change the way we think. Because I think too many times Christians are praying this way. If you can, just please help. If you can, and if you want to. If you can, and if you want to. And if you don't want to, well, okay, then I don't know. It's just like, I guess I'll just suffer through it. No, but Jesus said this. And then he said, no, it's not about if I can and if I want to. Verse 23, Jesus said, if you can believe. It's not about if I can or if I want to. Really, the issue is if you can believe. If you can believe. Because if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If I can believe, all things are possible to me. If you can believe, all things are possible to you. If we can believe, all things are possible to them who believe. And it's not just enough to believe. We must believe and then speak. That's what we just read. Right? Believing makes it legally ours. Speaking brings us to it. He said the issue is not if I can and if I want to, he says, if you can believe. I can and I want to. I can and I want to. But I cannot do something for you because I can and I want to. You must believe. We must believe. We must believe. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Now immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Can you see what just happened? What does the word confess mean? To say the same thing or to agree with? Jesus needed to get him to agree with him. They needed to get on the same page. He had to agree in order to access his deliverance. He needed to agree in order to access deliverance for his son. He needed to agree, not just, you must believe. And then he said, I believe, right? What did he just said what Jesus said. He just agreed with Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. What does that mean? It means I choose to believe. Believe in my heart. I believe, I really do believe, but you have no idea how the thoughts that are going through my mind right now. You have no idea the pressure and the what's going on up here. I choose to believe here, but there is so much activity and so much noise going on up here. That that it's hard to pay attention to what's going on here. But Jesus said, I need to get you to pay attention here. You need to believe. If you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. He said, I believe, I believe, I believe. And so, as Brother Hagin said, you can have faith in your heart and doubt in your head and still get results. Because it's faith in our heart, words coming out of our mouth, that we choose to believe, that gets results. So don't get so stuck and caught up with what's going on up here. Because when we're talking about the renewing of the mind and we're talking about transformation, there's going to be a whole lot of stuff going on up here that's going to want to hinder us and pull us back into our comfort zone and keep us from moving forward and experiencing breakthrough and transformation in our lives. We cannot focus on what's going on up here. We focus on the Word. We focus on what God said. We focus on choosing to believe Him, saying what He said. And that pulls us through. It pulls us up and it takes us into breakthrough, transformation. And then we have a testimony. Amen? So, let's close with Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, we see verse 21. Now, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, and that she may be healed, and that she may live. Okay, I want you to see what he just said. He came to Jesus, and he said, number one, he said, come lay your hands on her. This was the request. Come lay your hands on her. And when you come lay your hands on her, I expect two results. There's going to be two results. Come lay your hands on her, and there will be two results. Number one, she'll be healed. Number two, she will live. Come lay your hands on her, she'll be healed and live. Come lay your hands on her, and I expect two results. This is what I believe. He's saying what he believes. Come lay your hands on her, and she will be healed, and she will live. So Jesus, verse 24, so Jesus went with him. Jesus went with him, and a great multitude thronged him. Now, a great multitude all the way around. So, he is on the way to Jairus' house. Why? He said, come lay your hands on her, and this is what I believe. I believe she will be healed and she will live. He said, well, I'm on the way. Let's go do it. Let's go get some results. Let's produce some fruit. Amen? Let's go glorify God. He's on the way. On the way. And while he's on the way, the woman with the issue of blood, remember we talked about her? She's been confessing and declaring, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. This is the day. This is the day. Hallelujah. This is the day. She got dressed. She left the house. She touched the hem of his garment. Boom, power escaped out of his body. She's got healed. She got what she wanted. He stops. Who touched me? She finally comes to hear the testimony. She comes and she tells him everything. And he says to her, verse 34, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole, made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. And while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the master, the teacher, any farther? And as soon as Jesus heard the words that were spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And King James says, fear not, only believe. Fear not, only believe. You know what? We can't just fear not. We can't just fear not. Yeah, but we have to do something. The fear has to be replaced. We have to do something. Always, 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 always God, when he says don't fear, the answer is right there with it. Fear not. Okay, so what am I supposed to do? Believe, only believe. Fear not, only believe. Believe what? Believe what you just told me when I got off the boat. What did he say? If you come, lay your hands on my daughter, I'm expecting two results. Number one, she'll be healed and she will live. She'll be healed and she'll live. And now they're saying she's dead. So has anything changed? She's dead. But you said, if I would come lay hands on her, she'll be healed and she'll live. It's still the answer. Whether she's almost dead or she is dead, this is still the answer. I'm going to come lay my hands on her. And she's going to be healed and she's going to live. That's still the answer. So don't be afraid. Refuse the fear. Fear not. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Say, believe what you said. Keep saying what you said. Agree. I agree with you. We're staying in agreement. Amen. We need to stay in agreement. You want to get results, we need to stay in agreement. Confess, say the same thing and agree with. Only believe. Keep saying and agreeing with what you said in verse 23. And so he went. He said to her, took the child up in his hands and said to her, little child, I say to you, arise. Talitha kumi. Immediately the girl rose and walked, raised from the dead. Why? Because he chose to believe what he had said. Stay in agreement. Confess. So words. Words. We'll pick up here next week, but words. Words are very important for us to experience transformation in our lives. It's not automatic. This is part of the process of experiencing transformation in our lives. Our words. Hallelujah.